Hello, hello. It's July 11th. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Erica Rose. We're going to listen to a track from her CD, Last Night on Earth, and then we're going to get into some live performance and interview. Stick around.
Just ain't enough. I know deep down inside you ain't all that tough. And now you're running out of luck, 'cause I'm rid of you like a snake sheds its skin, sending you on your way. And you used to be and could have been, so don't think I remember your name. No, 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 no. Like a snake sheds its skin, sending you all your way. When you used to be and could have been, so I don't think I remember your name. No, the dog can catch the wolf. No, we always almost scream. And the hammer loves the nail, but it's the wood he ain't ever gonna find.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Erica Rose, and I've been dying to ask you this for a while, Erica. How do you pronounce the name of your band?
Erica Rose and the dot, dot, dots.
Oh, I was right. I was wondering if it was the dot, dot, dots or the ellipses.
I'm sure you've been asked it a million
gazillion times. Sorry to be that one more interviewer to ask you that. So actually, my guest is Erica Rose and the dot, dot, dots. Erica, who else is here today?
Laura Martin is here with me. She is one of the dots. She does some backup vocals with us.
Hello.
Hello.
And how many dots are there in this band?
Now there's 5 dots, right?
Yeah.
We've evolved, you know? So, yeah, including myself, we've got drums, bass, guitar, and backup vocals.
And did this project start just as Erica Rose and you felt that you needed some dot, dot, dots to fill out the sound?
I got kind of lonely going out there by myself and playing shows. And so I decided I really wanted to have a band involved in it. And we had some other names circulating, some of which I don't know if I should mention. we were actually Erica Rose and the Dirty Sluts for a while. And that started as a joke and just kept on going, and we needed to change that quickly because that wasn't going over too well.
Probably gave your audience
an
unwanted sort of preconceived notion too when they come to see your act.
It's like mellow rock alt country. They're like, wait, where does the Dirty Sluts part figure in?
Yeah, leave that to the manufacturers who make our corporate music.
Yeah.
Why don't we jump right into a live song, and then we'll get into the rest of this. What are you going to play for us first?
We're going to play a song called The Older I Get.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Erica Rose and the dot, dot, dots.
Everybody moves on.
everybody moves on. And I know that you'll come back to me. I know that you'll come back to me. I know that you'll come back to me. I hope that you'll come back to me. 'Cause the older I get, the more that I know I should forget all the things that I always thought I've known. Whoa, whoa. Everybody brushes their teeth, feeling like the whole world's asleep, except for them, no, nobody understands, except for them, no, nobody understands. The older I get, the more that I know I should forget all the things that I always thought I've known. Yet the older I get, the more that I know I should forget all the things that I always thought I've known. Everybody watches TV, wondering where we're all gonna be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 12 years, in forever. Will they blow us up? Will we shoot them down? Or will we grab the olive branches bow? Older I get, the more that I know I should forget all the things that I always thought I've known. Yet the older I get, the more that I know I should forget all the things that I always thought I've known. Everybody moves on.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Erica Rose.
Banging my guitar around.
Erica, you know, Los Angeles is a city of, known as a city of transplants, but you're actually from Los Angeles, and you're a true Los Angeles artist, huh?
I try not to tell too many people that.
No, is that not something that that influences your music?
Well, I think the thing is, not only am I from L.A., but I was born in the San Fernando Valley. So technically speaking, I'm a Valley girl.
You're technically a Valley girl.
Yes, I grew up amidst shopping malls and too much bubble gum and too many likes. So.
So it's interesting because, you know, your music, a lot of it anyway, has this sort of Midwestern or Southern influence to it that that isn't necessarily associated with the San Fernando Valley, for example. I noticed there was no white boy rapper interlude or, a punk riff or anything like that.
I think that I owe that to my diverse musical tastes. I listen to everything and anything, and so I've gotten beyond my Valley roots. Also, my parents are from the East Coast, so... God forbid that their daughter grew up, you know, sounding and acting like a Valley girl. You know, they took it upon themselves to make sure that nobody would know.
So. You weren't allowed to say things like, oh, my God. And, you know.
I do a great impression of a Valley girl, but that's as far as it goes.
What came to you first? Was it playing a musical instrument or singing or writing songs? Or all at the same time?
You know, I always sang. I think that definitely was the first thing that came to me. My father was a singer. And so we used to drive, you know, to school and harmonize in the car when I was little. So I singing was always something that was very natural to me. I took piano lessons. My parents, you know, figured, oh, well, she's singing. We got to get her something to accompany her with, you know. So I took piano lessons for a while. And then when I was about 15, I decided that it really wasn't that cool to play piano and that I needed to play guitar. Even though I wish I still kept up with the piano, you know, now I'm like, oh, wait. What I do, but
it's funny. It seems like the number one cause of guitar playing is piano lessons.
Wow, I'm gonna say that next time. That's great. Yeah, no, I pretty much thought, you know, at 15 I got into the whole, like, you know, indie punk scene, and there was no room for keyboards in that, really, you know. Mm-hmm. Now these days it's like, oh wow, you know, keyboards is a great addition to anything, but back then it just wasn't cool. So I made my parents take me out on my 15th birthday, and I got a Gibson Sonics 180 and a PV amp. Woohoo. Yeah. Good times. And and then I just taught myself to play guitar, you know, just from what I'd learned, you know, via taking piano lessons and all that.
So. What were some of the things you were listening to around the time that you started to make your own music?
Oh God, I'm trying to think. One of my favorite bands in high school was Jawbreaker. I was obsessed with Jawbreaker. Band called Link, and on the more mellow side I was really into Ida and the Secret Stars, all those, you know, very I used to like order records from like Kill Rock Stars and K Records, you know. Elliot Smith was a big one, Mary Lou Lord, like all that stuff. I thought it was really cool because I ordered indie records, you know.
Right.
I got them in the mail at my parents' house, you know,
a little bit more obscure, like
yeah,
something
yeah.
more artistic about buying that music almost.
If you've heard of it, it's probably not cool.
Yeah.
I've grown out of that since then. I want to say that.
Now I want to sell my CD.
Yeah. Now I'd like to make some money. Like,
when,
to eat more than ramen.
When did you start actually playing in front of an audience and saying, you know, this is music that I made and listen to me, I'm a musician now, as opposed to just, you know, playing around the house? And
yeah. I'm like, should I mention the fact that I did musicals in junior high school? Probably not, but I'm going to mention it.
No, don't mention
anyway.
That. I'll edit it out in the
okay,
mix.
All right, we'll cut that. Yeah.
Of course, so mention that. That's fascinating.
That was my first foray into the performing arts, was doing musicals. Oh, God. I was Peter Pan, you know. It's good stuff.
No.
I know. Shh. Oh, God. This is being broadcast. Okay, anyway. Let's get beyond that. Above and beyond that, I would say that when I was 16, I started a band. This is after, you know, a year of the new guitar and the amp. I started a band with two friends of mine.
And you already had the experience of performing
yeah.
from the musical theater.
Yeah, but never like with a guitar and in front of, you know, an audience that's listening more to, you know, music as opposed to it being like the experience of musical theater. I've never really done that. So I, my friends and I, we used to hang out in the bass player, her parents' little, you know, upstairs room that they had at the corner of the house, and we used to just play together. That's how we all kind of taught ourselves to play. We just sit around and play music together, and then started playing shows, and we were a little bit of a novelty because we were an all-girl trio. You know, it was called Uxby, and we used to.
Did you have like a demo tape or something that you'd send
to
the venues?
To this day, we never recorded anything. Uxby is like this like myth. You know, this band that never really existed in any concrete sense. But all of our friends were in bands. They were a little older than us and had some more established bands. Like there was a band called Still Life that way back in the day that was, you know, had a pretty good following in this area, and they were good friends of ours, and we used to open for them and play shows with them. So we never really had to like go about booking our own shows. We just kind of fell right into it, you know. So that's kind of how it all started. And then I took a little break, and I went to film school because I take a lot of pictures, and I thought that's what I wanted to do. And then I ended up doing scores for all the films, and figured it was kind of time to go back to the music thing. So
sort of, you know, went into the visual world and then
yeah.
gradually returned back into the world of sound.
Exactly. And
now when you came back, it was as yourself without a band.
Exactly.
And then you built your band around it. Well, why don't we listen to another track that you brought in,
okay,
and then we'll
cool.
talk about how you found your band.
Sounds perfect.
What should we play?
Track 2, Plan Accordingly.
Okay. This is off of the CD Last Night on Earth, Erica Rose and the dot, dot, dot. So you can check out myspace.com/ErikaRose, that's ARRICA, R-O-S-E. Stick around.
Two tickets for the moon. Got nothing to lose. A rocket ship to change. Darling, we're on our way. Take life as she comes, while she's shooting arrows and firing guns. Well, I've heard this life on Mars. You heard I have a heart. Well, occasionally the world's an unhappy place. So plan accordingly. Please plan accordingly. Feels like I've been crying for over 100 years. And there's still no river and way too many tears. So I say so long to sorrow. You've been a good friend of mine, but for every new beginning, something's gotta die. Well, occasionally the world's an unhappy place, so plan accordingly. Occasionally
we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest Erica Rose of Erica Rose and the dot dot dots. And we're joined by one of the dots as well. So why don't we get into that? First let me ask you, Erica, how long did you perform as a solo act before you decided, okay, I really need a band?
I would say pretty much for the duration it took me to make my first EP. I would say maybe about 6 to 8 months I was playing by myself. I went out on a tour and went out for a couple weeks. And then being out there, I just felt like, it would be really nice to have a band behind me. Even if it can't always be the full band, I like that sort of camaraderie of having other people collaborate and participate. And so essentially I came home and was pretty adamant about wanting to find a band. So I basically started with people that had helped me out on my EP, and it kind of all evolved from there, essentially.
And so did you find Laura, or did Laura find you?
Well, Laura and I actually, we met a little while back working together at the same restaurant. So, and Laura's actually an amazing singer-songwriter herself. And so we actually played some shows together, and I always was a really big fan of her stuff. And then I was thinking, God, it'd be really nice to be able to recreate all the backup vocals I do myself on the album. I mean, we had Jason, who was playing bass and doing backup vocals, but at the same time, having that female voice in addition and being able to do 3-part harmonies, I'm like, I should ask Laura. And so, yeah, she was down for it. And it's great too, because we can play shows together and she can play her stuff. And then, I'm actually working on singing on some of her stuff as well. So that'll be cool.
So Laura, tell me a little bit about how listening to Erica's music and then sort of joining in with it and what your expectations were.
It's hard, I guess, to say that what your expectations are. Obviously, I'd heard her play a lot and had her records and loved it, but it was such a different thing to actually get inside of it. And that's as a backup singer, or anytime you join a project that's already in the making, it's such a fascinating thing to it's so different than just hearing it, because you actually just, it's like you step inside it, you open the door and you come in, and it's such a cool room. Like, she's got a cool room to play in. It's really fun, especially with a band, and you can dance and clap and be loud, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, singing in your own projects, that's got to be a much different animal than singing in someone else's project.
Absolutely.
Is there something you have to do as a vocalist to, bring out Erica's voice a certain way, or?
Yeah, it's when you're writing your own stuff and singing your own stuff, you kind of don't pay as close attention because there's so much going on. You're playing guitar, you're singing and emoting, and you're working with your own dynamics. And when you're under someone else, it's taught me so much to just be able to find that one note and the precision of each individual thing that you do. And, sometimes you really just have to watch her mouth and kind of anticipate her syncopation or what she's going to do next. And it's not tricky or anything. And it also helps that we're friends and I know her and we trust each other. So,
and that's got to be very important for you, Erica, to be able to trust your backup vocalist, not to overpower you or be off key or whatever,
Oh yeah. That's the thing. It's I've never played a show where I've even thought twice about Laura, not, having it down and knowing what's going on. No, really, I haven't. Because even if we've had a
Does
show,
she
and she's
complete you?
No, she'll be. Laura, there's something I've been meaning to tell you. it's just funny because even when she's I totally missed that, but never, the way she misses something is so seamless. It's nobody would know except maybe her and I. And even I probably don't even. No, so.
Are you your own worst critic?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Perfectionism is.
I think that's what we have in common.
Music.
Yeah.
Well, you guys want to jump into another live song?
Sure, why not?
What would you like to play?
Should we play the World Go By one?
Sure.
Why not? This is a very new song. I'm just trying to scoot this way, though. Okay.
Okay. My guest is Erica Rose. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org whenever you're ready.
I can make love and make a difference, get to know a stranger in an instant. I could give a little, get back what I gave, say tomorrow forgives the weak and the brave. I'm just sitting here watching the world go by. I'm just sitting here watching the world go by.
want to move you with a thought or two. Take a little back, throw away the key. Say turn on the color, but not the TV. But I'm just sitting here watching the world go by. I'm just sitting here watching the world go by. And tomorrow you're sitting by my side, saying today is surely soon to arrive. But I say the future killed the present in a war called forever. And now I'm just sitting here watching the world go by. I'm just sitting here watching the world go by. And the flowers might bloom, baby, the leaves, they might die. Oh, I'm just sitting here watching the world go by. Bye. Bye.
My guest is Erica Rose and the dot, dot, dots. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Erica, when you started to write songs, did you have an idea in your head that there were certain things you wanted to write about, that there was a more general message you wanted to get across, or that you wanted to tell stories or, you know, histories of your experience?
I would say in terms of songwriting, I'm really big on the little quirky phrase that says so much, maybe not literally, but if you take a while and think about it. And I tend to write songs. I keep a journal, and I tend to like keep track of little phrases that I hear people say or that pop into my head, or that I, you know, read in like a newspaper or a magazine. And then from that, usually some sort of song evolves. That's usually, I'd say 90% of the time, like my process of songwriting. Like a good example is on Last Night on Earth, the song that's called Occasionally the World's an Unhappy Place, Plan Accordingly. Mm-hmm. I was actually on tour, and I was in Indiana, and we were staying at my guitar player Abby's house. She's from Lebanon, Indiana. And I picked up like the local Lebanon paper, and on the front page there was this story about, you know, going out of town for the summer, and that you have to be really careful because, you know, when you get out of your small town, the world is a really scary place. And it literally said, occasionally, the world's a very unhappy place. Please promise that you'll plan accordingly. I was like, I can't believe it's on the front page of a newspaper.
So you saw that, and that's the kind of thing
like,
you just,
okay,
I have to write a song about that.
And so, I think I told a few people that I had a song that was like, you know, brewing called that, and they just looked at me really strangely, like, okay, that's great, Erica. I'd like to hear that one when it's done.
Do you write all the material for your band, or do the songs come from other places as well?
On occasion, you know, I've collaborated with band members like Abby and I wrote Rid of You together. Jason, who co-produced the album with me, he and I have collaborated on songs like on our last album, and wrote some songs that'll probably be on our next album. So yeah, on occasion we definitely like, you know, get things going and, you know, write together, which is nice. And I enjoy doing that. I kind of would like to do more of that actually. So
now this album that we've been playing a few tracks from, this is your most recent album.
Yeah, this is our recent album.
Last Night on Earth. But it's not your debut. You had another one before this, right?
Yeah, with the dot, dot, dots, I had another album called People Like Us that we actually recorded out in Arizona with Larry Crane. Had a good time doing that. That was a great experience. And yeah, this was the follow-up EP to that.
And where's this EP available?
It's available on iTunes and all of your
and blah,
general
blah, 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 blah,
downloading yeah, venues. Yeah. If I tried to list them, it might take the rest of this interview. But it's also available on CD Baby. And if you go to our MySpace page, which is just MySpace/Erica Rose, A-R-R-I-C-A, it's, you know, links to it too. So.
And do you also sell them at shows?
Yeah, of course. We sell them at shows. And we got these fancy new T-shirts too. So.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're fantastic. Why don't we play another track, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about live shows coming up and it's like performing. What do you recommend?
Maybe do Silence is All We Need.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Erica Rose. We'll be right back.
Silence is all we need, but it's been so goddamn quiet that I can hardly see. Silence is all.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Erica Rose and the dot, dot, dots. So you have a slew of live performances coming up. Let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk about the whole history of live performances. What's going on with you these days?
Well, immediately we have a show tonight over at Crane's, playing at 9:30 there for the Beechwood Rockers Society does a night there. So we're playing that this evening. So that should be fun.
And that place is actually, you know, making a good name for itself as like a sort of musician's refuge, singer, songwriter haven.
Yeah, it's a really cool place. Laura plays there a lot too. I mean, it's great. It's very mellow. There's no cover. You know, people can just come and hang out, listen to music, or you can go outside on the patio and hang out there. It's a good vibe, I think. Yeah, I like that place a lot. Other than that, we're playing at the Derby on the 25th. With some friends of ours are coming down from Sacramento, a band called Brown Shoe, and they're going to be playing with us, so that'll be fun. And then we've got a show in Tucson after that, the next day.
Wow.
We're not going to be partying that night. we also, we're playing August 18th at the Hotel Cafe, which is kind of where we tend to play the most. That's our sort of like stomping ground. And then after that we got asked to play the Gay Pride Festival up in Ventura.
Wow.
Which was cool. You know, there's a promoter up there that, you know, has been really supportive of us, and he's booked us a bunch of shows, so he asked us to play that. We're like, sure, we'd love to, why not, you know. So we're doing that, and then after that I think we have a festival called the Midpoint music festival out in Cincinnati, Ohio. So yeah, all over the map.
Pretty busy, yeah. But it sounds like you're playing a lot of great scenes and a lot of great venues. I mean, Hotel Cafe, that's sort of like the, yeah, we played Hotel Cafe. You know, it's that kind of venue where, you know, musicians are very excited about being able to play there.
Yeah, we love playing there. I mean, everybody's been real good to us there, and it always sounds great. You know, our people that we bring out to shows like to come to that venue. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, people like hanging out there. It's a good vibe, and yeah, I think it does have probably one of the best, you know, sound, you know, systems in LA. Like, it just sounds freaking great there. So, and it sounds good on stage, which is nice, 'cause that doesn't happen a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, it sounds good in the house, but when you can actually hear yourself well, it's like, ah, oh, nice. You can like breathe and relax.
And plus, it's about music there. Like, yeah, it's an attentive audience, and it's really focused around the band and the music, which is not always the case in LA venues.
Yeah, it's often not the case in LA venues.
Exactly.
The first question is, what is your draw?
Yeah.
Right? And then the second question is, you know, how much did people drink when they came to see your show?
And the question, do you suck, never comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. I'm sorry to say that.
No, but it's true. If you could control all of this, which as a musician you so really can't,
yeah,
but what's the ideal venue situation for you? What is the kind of crowd that you like to play for?
My ideal crowd, I think, is people that are very attentive, you know, and they're listening, but at the same time they like to have fun and they like to like clap along and they like to, you know, holler and scream in between, you know, but they also want to hear music, and they're not just like, you know, having a few drinks and like talking to their buddy like for half the show, you know. And like Laura said, that's kind of something the Hotel Cafe provides, which is I think why it's probably one of my favorite venues to play.
Does that help you when you perform live, sort of the sense the audience is participating in the show, like, you know, actively listening to,
yeah,
passively listening?
Definitely. I mean, you always have shows where you're gonna play and you feel like, you know, nobody's listening, but the truth of the matter is there is always somebody listening. And a good friend of mine actually taught me that. I was on the road with her. Her name's Martha Berner. She's a great singer-songwriter, and she said that to me. She's like, you know, there's always one person out there listening. You just gotta play to them, Rose. Like, you know, it's true. So, you know, you have to take into consideration you're not always gonna have that ideal situation that you have at the hotel, but there really is always people listening. It's just sometimes, you know, the people that are yapping are overshadowing,
right,
that. So
what about the first couple times that you played live, either as a solo artist or with your band? Was that a nerve-wracking experience, or did your musical theater experience prep you for it?
My musical theater experience did nothing for me. I remember the first show that I played by myself. The shows with the band then when I was 16 were a little easier. You know, I remember being really nervous about those, but they were a little easier because I had, you know, I had backup. But the first show I played by myself, I just remember getting up on stage with my guitar and going, breathe, just breathe. And like, if you breathe, you will not pass out. Breathe. It was, finally I like got into this place. I think I like took so many deep breaths that I was a little bit like, had like an oxygen high, and then I was fine. But yeah, it was quite nerve wracking being on stage by myself with a guitar in front of an audience of people. Not really something I thought I would continue doing at that very moment, but here I am.
And now that you have, and now that you have a band supporting you, that probably makes boosts the confidence level a bit as well.
Yeah, I like playing with people. I mean, I still do acoustic shows, you know, by myself, but I do enjoy the camaraderie of having the band up there with me, gotta say.
You guys ready for another live song?
Yeah. Let's do it.
What are you gonna play?
I think, okay, this song warrants a tiny bit of explanation.
Please.
This song is called Borderline in Love. And I usually have to tell a story before I play this song, because I was sitting outside my apartment with my roommate and a good friend of mine. And she was telling us about this guy that she was seeing, and things were, you know, falling apart, not going very well. And she told us that she told him that she was borderline in love with him. My roommate turned to her and said, borderline in love, isn't that like being kind of pregnant. And I was like, oh, that's great. Got to write that one down for a song.
That's another one of those phrases ended up in your journal, huh?
My roommate turned to me. He's like, I dare you. Oh, that's all you got to say.
Well, so. Pay up, roomie. Yeah. Here it comes. You're listening to Erica Rose on Is Good on killradio.org whenever you're ready.
Don't know how to fall. I've surrounded myself with soft dirt and padded walls. Don't know how to love. At least that's what I've been told by some man. History repeats what we promised to delete. But I'll prove it wrong. I'll prove it wrong. Cause I'm borderline in love with you, and I think that I'm kind of pregnant too. I'm borderline in love with you, but this borderline love is making me blue. And there's something about that looking right when you don't really know. I've been watching you for a while, and there's something about the words that fall from your lips when you don't think I'm really listening. That's why I'm borderline in love with you, and I think that I'm kind of pregnant too. I'm borderline in love with you, but this borderline love is making me blue. And when you look at me, well, I might look away, but my heart is telling me she thinks I ought to stay. Oh, and my eyes might lie, and you might not see. There's a sea of possibility. That's why I'm borderline in love with you, and I think that I'm kind of pregnant too. I'm borderline in love with you, but this borderline love is making me blue. It's making me blue. It's making me blue. Oh, and it's a strange world after all. And you could teach me to love, or you could teach me to fall.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Erica Rose. Do you have a preference over performing live versus recording in the studio?
I enjoy both for very different reasons. I definitely feel like I have a really good time in the studio, although I would say live is one of those things that, you know, I always have a slight like anxiety before, you know, there's always like that adrenaline rush, and no matter how many shows I play, I always feel a little bit of that, oh, gonna play a show. In the studio though, I don't ever feel that. So, but afterwards, you know, once I've played live, I'm like, woohoo, on top of the world, that was great. You know, it's more the anticipation that's always a little bit challenging. And in the studio, I always just look forward to it. I'm like, we're going in the studio. I can do this in two takes. That's right. You know.
Do you find when you're performing in the studio, when you're trying to record that, you know, that perfect track and lay that down, that maybe it's a little bit more difficult because you don't have that audience participation that inspires you on stage?
For whatever reason, I don't have any problems in the studio. And I don't know if maybe it's that before I even went into a studio, professionally speaking, I started recording by myself in my apartment. You know, like, first it was like my floor track on my floor, and then it evolved into my PowerBook G4, you know, getting fancy. And then, you know, then I moved into actually recording in a studio. So I think by the time I got there, I was very comfortable with the concept of recording. So it didn't really freak me out, and it wasn't hard to get that good take. You know, I was always excited. It's like, I can do this by the third take. And, you know, if you set that, you know, that bar for yourself, I think it's a really good thing. Cause I personally, you know, obviously there's always going to be something that you just can't get right, and you're like doing it over and over again. Yeah. But I feel like if you can get it in the first few takes, you know, or at least within the first 10, it's probably a good thing. You know, it's fresh. It's, you know, it has more of that sort of live dynamic, and that's kind of important to me.
Let's talk a little bit about building your audience. You mentioned that you know, you have a fan that invited you up to Ventura to do the Gay Pride Festival.
Yeah.
And do you find that happens now and again, that someone sees you at a show and connects with your music and then sort of wants to be a part of it? You see them at another show, or?
Yeah, no, it's been nice lately. I feel like there was like a time when I was always trying to like set up shows for myself and always had to like think ahead of like, when am I going to, you know, book the next show and how am I going to plan it out? It's been nice to finally have people that are interested in sort of helping you out and giving you shows and wanting you to play. And it's not just about, hey, you want me to play, and having to talk them into it. When they come to you and are like, hey, we'd like you to play, it's a great feeling. You know, it's like, all right, so all this legwork's worth it, you know, that.
And so you've been through all that with, like, you know, having to drag the same friends to the same shows over and over again.
You know, and that's, you know, that's always, you know, the biggest challenge. It's like, yeah, okay, we have 50 people, but there are 50 of our closest friends that, you know, are like, yeah, we came. All right, well, see you in a couple months. You know, it's like you want people to be there that are just there for the music and excited about the music and came to, you know, be listeners, not just to support you. Not to say that my friends, you know, I have some great friends that are really, like, really want to be at all my shows, and I love that. That's, you know, that's a double bonus, you know.
And do you also have, like a management team or a label representation or anything like that?
Well, I have my own label. Pop Rock Records is my label that I started, and I actually got some investors for it. So,
Wow. Yeah,
so that's kind of how that all came to be. Pop Rock Records started off as just like a little sticker that I put on the back of my first four-track recording, and then it sort of evolved into something that a little bit bigger than that. So that was nice. And then, I do have a manager that I work with, and, you know. And then, of course, you know, people that are just trying to help you get the word out and stuff like that. So that's, you know, it's good to have a team of people behind you helping you out, because you can only really do so much yourself. Although working around the clock is probably the best bet to make it happen.
Do you have other artists that you work with, like with your label?
No, not yet. That is something I definitely would like to evolve into. It's definitely a goal of mine, is to have like a label that, you know, has more than just myself on it. But right now it's like, yeah, we have investors, but that investment is probably going to what we're doing at this moment. And as soon as we can like open it up wider than that, I would love to do that.
Well, what about playing with other bands? You find it, has it been useful to, you know, sort of ally yourself with sort of like-minded musicians? I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, in LA, if you get that gig, you know, and they book you at their venue, but, you know, you're going up between two acts that have nothing to do with you, and you're not going to get any of their fans, and they're not going to get any of your fans.
No, that's the worst. I mean, that honestly, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about clubs you play in LA. That, I feel like, is one of the worst things about LA, is that you can walk in and see this like singer-songwriter playing these really pretty mellow songs and have a metal band following her, and it's just like, who thought that was okay? You know? I mean, and I think the ridiculous thing about that for me is that not only are the artists not benefiting from it, but the club isn't benefiting either.
Because people just leave.
People leave. They're not going to stay around. They're not going to drink. And that's where the club is really making its money. So it just seems like it's such a defeating, like, you know, concept that goes on all the time. So, yeah, I mean, one thing about the Hotel Cafe is that I don't think we've ever played with somebody that we've been like, oh, wow, why did they pair us with them? Because that, I mean, that's a good thing about that. And then also, I found lately that hooking up with bands in different parts of
of the country, like, that you can sort of gig swap with, you know, like, they, you know, my friends up in Sacramento are coming down and they're going to play here, and then we're going to go up, Laura and I are both going to play with them up in Sacramento and in San Francisco. So it's nice to be able to do that. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, they're a little bit more of, I guess I'd say more rock, a little bit more rock than we are, but it fits. Mm-hmm. So it's nice, I think, to ally yourself with people that you can mutually help out in this struggle we call the music industry. Yeah.
Before we run out of time, why don't we do another live song, and then we can end with a track from what you brought in here.
Sounds fabulous.
What would you like to play for us?
We're gonna try a song that we've actually never played before.
Kill Radio exclusive.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's called I'd Love to Miss LA. This is actually from the apartment archives, this other page that I'm doing. So.
Okay, go for it.
I need love. All they offer me is drugs. I need love. All they offer me is drugs. Oh, how I love to miss LA. Like a long lost lover, barely got away. Oh, I'd love to miss LA. I need a friend. All they offer me's the best. I need a friend. All they offer me's the best. The best in hotels and fancy cars, liquor and movie stars, broken dreamers, overachievers, one-liners, part-timers. Oh, I'd love to miss LA. Like a black and white movie that hardly ever plays. Oh, I'd love. You said, don't go getting all big time on me. She said, instead of talking what you don't want, start talking what you need. And he said, I'd love to miss LA. Like I'll miss you in the morning when my words aren't yet awake. Oh, I'd love to miss LA. Oh, I'd love to miss LA.
My guest is Erica Rose. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. How far do you want to go with this act, with this band? How, like, what is in your mind sort of
the Staples Center, definitely.
Yeah, is that where you know, like, you've made it once you play at the Staples Center?
No.
But do you have an image of yourself in some major, you know, tens of thousands of people kind of venue?
Dots at the Staples Center with Aerosmith opening for them.
or do you see yourself with this very strong, long-lasting, but more of a cult following?
Yeah, I feel like for me, like, longevity is the thing I'm up for. Like, I want to keep playing music. I want to keep putting albums out. I want it to still be quirky. I feel like there's a quirky element to what I do that I don't think I could ever change. And maybe to some people that's not completely and totally mainstream friendly, or maybe it will be. And honestly, whichever way it goes, I'm happy with. But my ultimate goal is just to be able to make a living and be creative and do what I love to do. And then I can sleep at night. And if it affects somebody out there in a positive way and people like what I'm doing and they can enjoy it, then God bless America.
By the way, do you have that experience where people respond to your music, like especially to the lyrics? Do you ever have audience members, or fans who listen to this CD tell you that, this song meant this to me or something like that?
Yeah, I actually had a very crazy experience recently with the song we just played, I'd Love to Miss LA, where somebody wrote to me and told me that they hadn't been able to cry in months, and the song made them like cry, and they had this cathartic experience and wrote me this very, very long and involved email. And I was like, wow, that's cool.
Awesome.
And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, really, that's the point, right? To when you're putting yourself out there, you want someone else to be able to respond to it and connect to it. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Well, cool. You brought in this other CD.
Track. The song's called, it's actually the newest song I've recorded. It's called Breakups and Commitments Are Like Little Deaths. So, I have this page called Erica Rose, the Apartment Archive on MySpace. And I've been posting a song a week on that I'm recording in my apartment. So this is one of the songs from that.
And in addition to this, you mentioned this EP is sort of a precursor to another album?
Yeah, we're going to be working on a new album probably in September. So we'll have a new LP probably by the end of this year.
Cool. All right. Let's have a listen. We'll be right back with Erica Rose and the Dot Dot Dots. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
I'm trying to walk away, but you're begging me to stay. Not with the words you say, but with that look upon your face. The one that says breakups and commitments are little deaths, and I don't want to die. Breakups and commitments are little deaths, and I don't want to die. I once mentioned forever, I saw your face fall down. You hit the ground running, and without making a sound, he said breakups and commitments are like little deaths, and I don't want to die. Breakups and commitments are like little deaths, and I don't want to die. So good night, moon.
Good night, moon.
Good night, star.
Good night, star.
Good night to all the lonely hearts hanging out in bars, saying breakups and commitments are
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Erica Rose and the Dot Dot Dots. Check out myspace.com/Erica Rose, ARRICARose. And you also have ericarose.com?
Yeah, ericarose.com as well. Yeah.
Okay. Keep up to date with the weekly apartment songs?
Yeah, it's called Erica Rose, the Apartment Archive. You can find it on our regular MySpace. You'll see it in the top friends there.
And Erica's performing tonight at Crane's Tavern, 9:30. And then drop by the MySpace. Got a whole bunch of other gigs coming up. Thank you, Erica, Lara. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Take care. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Mm-hmm.